Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion from the end of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
Two ladies were talking. The first one said to the other, "Did you go to church last Sunday?" The other lady said, "Yes, I did." The first lady said, "Well, did the sermon have a happy ending?" She said, "Oh, yes, all of us were happy when it ended." I'll repeat it. No. Tonight we're going to have a happy beginning, a happy middle, and a happy ending. And our scripture text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. It'll be important for you to look in your Bible and see that this is in your Bible and it is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He, God, made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." Now, we are considering the subject, "What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake?" And as we begin this passage, we're confronted with the truth that anyone in Christ is a new creation, not repaired, not worked on, not tried to fix. But God made us a new creation, not improved, absolutely new. Every Christian is a new creation by a new birth, by a spiritual birth. And this means that we are different. Christian people in Christ are different than the unbelieving world. We have a different nature. We have a new nature. We are a new creation. We desperately need to know that. It affects our behavior. And last week we learned that this new creation is here on earth to be different. People with the old nature, the sin nature, do not love God. Do not love the Bible. Do not love God's people. Do not love to worship. Do not love righteousness. They do not. We are different. We love the Lord. We love the Bible. We love God's people. And we love to worship. And we love righteousness. And we hate sin. We're different. If you were here last week, let me ask you, when you walked on that campus, did you remember you're a new creation? You don't have to talk like they talk, act like they act, dress like they dress, go where they go. When you went on the job, did you remember you were a new creation? You don't have to enter into all the difficulties of gossip and immorality in that workplace. Did you remember in your neighborhood that you're different? And in your family, you're a new creation. Now tonight we move on to the second thing that leaps out at us in this passage. And it's found in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. What on earth are we doing? We are people who are reconciled to God. Now, we don't use that term too much in our daily language, so let's define it. What is reconciliation? As far as God is concerned, it's simply that we who are sinners have been made right with God. God made us right with himself. We have peace with God. The barrier, the wall that separates sinners from God has been removed. It's a bookkeeping term. When you get your bank statement, you try to reconcile the checkbook to the bank statement. And some people do that very well. And some of us do not. Enough said. And so it means to come into agreement and to be together. And that's the way it is with God and the sinner whom he saves. And it means this. Sin is no longer on our account. In the heavenly bookkeeping system, there is no sin on the account of those who are reconciled to God. Now, if anything ever blessed your heart, that has to be it. No sin on our account. That's our position before him. Now, having defined it, let's think about the biblical process. How does this happen that we who have sin on our account who have rebelled against God, who are living as his enemies, and do not love him, how does it happen that we can now be right with him and at peace with him and have fellowship with him? How can it be? To understand this, to appreciate it, we need to review our previous condition. What is it really like to have a sin nature, to be living separated from God? What is that like? To be rebellious against him, to hate righteousness, to hate biblical truth. That's what it's like. We need to remember that we were lost, hopeless, and desperate, without anything we could do about it. We could not change our nature. So in comes the grace of God. The grace of God comes to us. And this process of reconciliation is spelled out in verse 21. Would you look at that verse? And we will see how this happened. For he, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is the process of reconciliation. And there's just a wonderful outline here that reveals what God did, what Christ did, and what we become. First of all, what God did. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Now, the recent movie, The Passion, has great impact on people. And they think about the physical suffering of Christ, and they view that as the primary passion, but it is not. Think for a moment about the passion of God the Father putting his Son on the cross, who was absolutely, perfectly sinless. He had no earthly father. He did not inherit the sin nature of Adam. Every moment of his life, he had no sin. In thought or word or deed, he had no sin. He is innocent. And who put him on the cross? Well, there's great debate about the Jews, the Romans, and whoever else. But the Bible declares plainly in Acts chapter 2, 22 through 24, that he was delivered over by the deliberate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God the Father put his Son on the cross and made him to be sin for us. Now that's passion. imagine in the heart of God the Father to see his Son, innocent, pure, holy, become sin for us so that he had to be punished? And God poured out his wrath on Christ instead of us. That's passion. Never forget the passion of God the Father at the cross. He did that. It was his plan from all eternity, and he carried it through. He who knew no sin suffered the wrath of God, paid the penalty of separation for us. That's passion. That's what God did. What did Christ do? He knew no sin, but he became sin. He suffered the penalty of sin. And that, my friends, is the passion of the cross. It isn't primarily the physical suffering. It was the fact of becoming sin. That's the passion of the cross. You and I can't understand that fully because we are already sinners and we deserve some punishment. Sometimes we think we got a bad deal, but we probably deserved it. But imagine being perfectly innocent, deserving no mistreatment, no ridicule, no punishment, hanging there like a common criminal with the shame and humiliation of crucifixion. That's the passion. That's what God did. That's what Christ did, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We receive the benefit. We who are unrighteous in ourselves become righteous before God. That's reconciliation. That's the process. That's what had to take place so that our sin is removed. Reconciliation means that there is a conflict, and the two beings, God and us, are not together. There is a wall, and that wall is sin. And for reconciliation to occur, the wall comes down, and we are reconciled to God. Because sin is removed and no longer on our account. Now, I want to do something here that I feel very deeply about that I think will be helpful to all of us. And maybe not all of you have a pen or a pencil, but if you do, I suggest that you write down 10 items I'm going to give you that tell us where our sin is. You say, Bill, if the sin is removed, where is it? Well, I want to list 10 items that tell us where our sin is. And don't worry, because it won't take too long. Well, 10 sounds like a lot, but it'll go quickly. Now, I think it would be good if you had this list, put it on your refrigerator, put it beside your bed, put it on a mirror, put it in a car, because we all have trouble with this. We can say by position in Christ, our sin is removed, but we still sin. So we need to be reminded. Where is it? Where is our sin tonight? Number one, it's on Christ. Our sin was put on Christ. We could say transferred or imputed. In the Old Testament, when a man brought a lamb out of the flock, a lamb without blemish, he'd bring it before the priest. He put his hand on the head of the lamb as an act of faith. His sin was transferred to the lamb. The priest would slit its throat. The lamb would die, and the sin was gone. Now, that is exactly what happened for us. Our sin was transferred on Christ. He died with it, and it is gone. We sing, G-O-N-E, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Where are they? They're on him, and he died with them. Number two, our sin is covered by the atonement. You hear that word often in church. It's a biblical term explained in Romans 3:25. By the atonement. And it works like this. When Noah was building the ark, it says that he pitched the ark within and without with pitch, which is a tar-like substance to keep the ark waterproof. The same word for pitch is translated atonement. The pitch atoned the ark to keep the water out. The blood of Jesus Christ is an atonement for our sin to keep the sin covered. If you like that, say amen. Amen. Well, you like it a little bit, but I like it a lot. I'm glad it's atoned. Number three, our sin is blotted out. Now, David prayed about this. Psalm 51, he said, Lord, according to your loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. And in Isaiah, we read, the Lord blotted out the transgressions. Gone. No longer present. Number four, our sin is cleansed. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and our sin. And it means keeps on cleansing, 1 John 1:7. So, Our sin is on Christ, covered by the atonement, blotted out and cleansed. Number five, it's pardoned. Our sin and we have been pardoned. Now we're guilty of sin. So this pardon is purely of grace. We don't deserve it. And it means we are released from punishment. There is no punishment that faces those who are in Christ. None at all. Number six. The psalmist declared that our sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. Beyond description, removed is our sin. Number seven, our sin is redeemed. As it's been paid for. And God does not require double penalty. The penalty has already been paid. The price that was paid was adequate. Our sin and we have been redeemed. Number eight, our sin is forgiven. In whom we have forgiveness through the blood of Christ. Now, forgiveness is a subject in itself. To be forgiven is more than we can fathom. Forgiven, completely forgiven, totally forgiven. All sin, past, present, future. How can that be? Because of the adequate atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the hardest thing about forgiveness? We can say our sin is forgiven. We forgive other people, but we do not forgive ourselves. We are hard on ourselves. And tonight, you might be here just to hear this. By the grace of God and by the cross of Christ, forgive yourself. If you do not, it is pure pride. Who are we not to forgive ourselves if God Almighty has? Forgiveness. Number eight, there is no condemnation. Where is our sin? It can no longer condemn. Romans 8:1 is the application of chapters 1 through 7. There is therefore now, since the cross, no condemnation. None. N-O. Your sin cannot condemn you because of the adequacy of the cross. Number 10. How many are glad we're at number 10? Well, we're going pretty fast, so you're okay. It's not remembered. The Lord said, your sins I will remember no more. That is wonderful. Those are the 10 things I think we need to be reminded of constantly. The conflict was there. The problem has been removed. The relationship is established. We are reconciled to God. now and forever. And God did it all. Thank Him and praise Him and love Him. So we have considered the definition. Secondly, the process. And now thirdly, the point is the result. The result of having the conflict settled is that we have peace with God. Now, previously, we did not have peace with God. The Bible expressly states that we were enemies. We were at odds. There was a problem. We did not have fellowship. And now the war is over. And He made peace through the blood of His cross. We're justified. We have fellowship and we have the enjoyment of knowing God. And we have been accepted and adopted into His family. So we have the definition, the process, the result. And you may ask then, well, what is the earthly purpose? What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? And in verse 18, we have the answer. This passage says that we have been reconciled and we become reconcilers. What on earth are you doing? You are a reconciler. You bring God and people together. You bring people together. You are a peacemaker. This is our ministry. This is our assignment. This is our calling. This is our commission. And this commission is to all believers. And we have gotten into a rut in our modern church life. And we think that a few leaders in the church, the so-called clergy, are here to do the work of the ministry. No. In Ephesians 4, it's very clear that the work of the ministry is to be done by the people. And you need to receive this as your ministry. You are a reconciler, a peacemaker. This is your assignment. On this earth, what are you doing? You are here for the express purpose of being a reconciler, a peacemaker, bringing people together.
Unfortunately, at this point in the original tape, the remainder of the message was not recoverable. Therefore, this is the end of the message. God bless you, and we hope you found this tape useful in your study of God's Word.